Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, we are getting down to the nitty-gritty and to the conclusion, really, of our study on Christian contentment in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 through 24, where Paul first of all gives us the general principles and then gives us some illustrations to help us apply those principles in different areas of life. But, of course, the two illustrations, one is circumcision, the other is slavery. Paul says, if you were called to Christ while circumcised, don't be discontent with that. Don't seek to be uncircumcised. But on the other hand, if you were called to Christ while being uncircumcised as a Gentile, don't be discontent with that. Don't feel like you could improve your situation by being circumcised and coming under some of the Jewish regulations, acting more like a Jew. No. That's not the issue. The issue is to learn to be content in whatever circumstances God appoints for you. So whether it's circumcision or slavery, an interesting illustration because we don't have slavery today, but it was very common in Paul's day. Up to 50% of the people in the Roman Empire were slaves. They belonged to somebody. They didn't own themselves. They didn't own their own labor. They couldn't make their own decisions. They were owned by a master. And Paul says, if you are called to Christ as a slave, don't resent it. Now, if you get an opportunity to become free, that's fine. Please take advantage of it. But you can be content as a slave. It's not your circumstances that are the problem. It is your attitude toward them and towards God, which is really the issue. That's the problem. And the point is you've got to learn to cultivate contentment in your present circumstances so that as your circumstances change, you will still be content because you've learned how to cultivate contentment in your relationship with God. So whether your circumstances improve or become more difficult, you'll still be fine. You'll be content. Like Paul, you will have learned in whatever state you are therewith to be content. But if you don't learn contentment in your present circumstances, if you end up with circumstances that are 10 times better than your present ones, you're still not going to be content because you didn't learn contentment before. Contentment has to do with your relationship with God, not your circumstances. Oh, how we need to learn that. And so we'll continue that, and I think conclude it on this Tuesday, October 19. I'm glad you're with us, and I thank those whose financial gifts have made this possible. So, what's the bottom line on how to cultivate godly contentment? Well, first, acknowledge the sovereignty of God. God is God. God has the right to rule. God has the right to rule me. God has the right to rule the circumstances of my life. God has the right to give me good health or poor health. God has the right to give me comfortable finances or not so comfortable finances. And on it goes. God is sovereign. Recognize that, accept that, bow to that. Number two, accept God's appointments for your life. You say, what are God's appointments for my life? Whatever your circumstances are right now. God appointed them. Accept that. Number three, make pleasing God the ultimate goal of your life. not, listen to me now, not persuading God to please you. That's what many people go through life trying to do. That's what many people think that prayer is, to persuade God to please me. Many people think that the goal of the Christian life is to get God to be favorable to me in the things that I desire. No. Make pleasing God the goal of your life, not persuading God to please you. And number four, seek God's help daily. This is a daily battle. Seek God's help daily for contentment and purpose in your present circumstances. Pray for contentment and purpose in your present circumstances. If God has brought this difficulty in my life, He has a purpose for it. So let me please Him, serve Him, and fulfill the purpose for which He has brought this into my life. Don't ask Him to change them, meaning your circumstances. Ask Him to change you. That's the key. Now, there are some secondary applications that we can draw from this passage, and I'll try to cover them before we conclude this section today. And I think we can learn some lessons about social and political activism. And that comes up in regard to this issue of slavery. Paul just deals with it in a forthright way. It was a reality in his day. And he said, if you're called to Christ as a slave, don't resent it. Learn to be content. And what I'm pointing out is Paul did not crusade against slavery, to the consternation of many who think he should have, but he didn't. Because he knew the only way to change slavery was to change hearts, and he knew that gospel advancement would gradually eliminate slavery. Yes, it would. But one danger of social agitation is to increase discontentment. Don't we see that in our world today? Trying to change things, and in order to change things, you've got to rouse up people to oppose things in order to have a strong enough movement to bring about change. But to do that, you've got to make people more and more discontent. One danger of social agitation is to increase discontentment. Christians are to be cultivating contentment, not discontentment, in themselves and in others. Christians are taught to cultivate contentment, not fan the flames of discontentment. We see that in this passage as exemplified by the Apostle Paul. But we can also learn something here about Christian vocation. Conversion does not direct us to leave our present occupation for something that is more spiritual, whatever that may be. We learn that all throughout this passage, not just the contentment passage, but the marriage issues that came before it. It is not more spiritual to become celibate if you are married. That goes back to the first part of the chapter. It is not more spiritual to be free if you are a slave. Got it? It is not more spiritual to become a preacher, a missionary, a Christian school teacher, if God has called you as an automobile mechanic. You see, we're taking these same concepts out of the passage and we're applying them to areas of modern life. Did not God call you while circumcised? Don't seek to be uncircumcised. Did God call you as a slave? Don't be concerned about it. Did God call you to Christ as an automobile mechanic? Don't be discontent with that. Now, if in the development of your Christian life you feel that God is calling you to some kind of more vocational Christian service, I'm not quite sure what to call it exactly, but if you feel that God is calling you to that, then there's nothing wrong with pursuing that call. If God called you as an automobile mechanic, there's no reason that you have to be one for the rest of your life. But if God called you as an automobile mechanic, don't think that you're less spiritual, that you're less pleasing to God than a preacher or a missionary or a Christian school teacher. Wherever God called you, He called you from circumstances that He appointed for you. He's the one who brought you into that vocation even before you were saved. You see, Christian vocation is not simply a matter of surrendering to become a preacher, missionary, whatever. Christian vocation is a matter of divine appointment. And the greatest surrender may be to give up a dream of Christian vocation to become a better carpenter. I have known a number of people who struggled with this area of discontentment because they had really wanted to become a preacher, a missionary, whatever, and God kept closing the door, and they're frustrated about it. And they feel like they're a second-class citizen and that they can't really please God. I could please God if I were in ministry, but I'm stuck in this blue-collar job. I can't please God here. Of course you can. If a slave can please God serving as a slave, then you can certainly please God as a carpenter or an automobile mechanic or a factory worker. Because you recognize that that's what God has appointed. He arranges the appointments, the circumstances of your life. And so the divine call is not to a new vocation. The divine call is to give your present job new meaning. Your job as a automobile mechanic was just a job before you were saved. Now you realize that's my vocation. That's what God has called me to do. I'm going to honor Him by being the most careful, the most qualified, the most honest, the most skilled automobile mechanic that I can possibly be. I'm going to maintain a Christian testimony by being the kind of automobile mechanic that everybody hopes they get, and so many times they don't. Because not everybody has this same perspective, and not everybody has this integrity and honesty and desire to do things right in order to please God. But I do, because God has saved me as an automobile mechanic. So conversion does not direct us to leave our present occupation for something that we consider to be more spiritual, or that somebody else evidently considers to be more spiritual. That doesn't make it right just because a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary gives the wrong impression that you have to be a missionary or a pastor if you're going to really please God. Come on, surrender to preach, surrender to the mission field. You've got to do that. What's wrong with you that you're not willing to do that? Well, there may be nothing at all wrong with you. It may be that God has called you to Christ out of the world of automobile mechanicking in order to re-enter that world with a new perspective, a new attitude, a new commitment to quality as a way to honor and glorify Him. Yes, indeed. Contentment is a rare jewel. But we can learn to be content by following these principles that are found in this section, and we can offer that contentment as a sacrifice of praise to God by acknowledging it is by His design, and we are happy with that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.